One time, in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Advaita Acharya, "Acharya, where are you just coming from?" Advaita Acharya replied, "I just come back from the temple. I took darshan of Lord Jagannath." "No, no, no, Acharya. No. What did you just do? Where did you just come from?" He said, "No, I came back from the temple." "Yes, and then?" "Well, then I took darshan of Lord Jagannath." "And then?" Then I did the parikrama. I circumambulated the deities." "Yes," Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. "Therefore, I have defeated you." Advaita Acharya said, "Oh?" Advaita Acharya is known as Advaita Simha, like a lion. He's not like... he roars very loudly. He has a very powerful voice, a very large, powerful personality. So, you know, "You have defeated me. How you have defeated me?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Whenever I go to the temple of Lord Jagannath, I always stand in such a place that I can always see the deity at all times." He said, "But you go around the deity and turn your back to the deity. Therefore, I have defeated you." And in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that devotional service goes beyond the mechanical level, that it actually comes to the point where the devotee develops such deep attachment to Krishna that even a moment of separation from Krishna appears to be like 12 years or more. And therefore, even such a thing as parikrama, which is otherwise part of religious activities, right, was rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, "No, we just full time take as much darshan of the Lord as possible." So this is the spirit that is coming to us again and again from the revealed Vaishnav Shastra. Vaishnav Shastra is like that. Vaishnav Shastra is never about ritualistic performance. Vaishnav Shastra is never about trying to obtain blessings for any material purpose. Vaishnav Shastra is simply for about unalloyed pure devotional service to Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, that is the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, pure devotional service to Krishna. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana. Only devotional service where we are absorbed in that service can destroy all sinful activities. Agandum vanti kachneya niharam iva bhaskara. Only that can take out sinful desires from the heart. Otherwise, the whole world is in the grip of sinful desires. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamana buddhira evacha ahankaram ityame bina prakritirastada, that there are 8 separated energies of mind: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These energies are Krishna's separated energies, and they constitute the material energy. He said, then there is another energy of mine. Apareyam itastranyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. That are the living entities that honor energy. And the living entities, they preoccupy themselves by exploiting the other 8 energies. That's what they do, trying to exploit the material world. So the material world is a domain of exploitation. And the whole history of the world is about exploiting and being exploited. That's going on. And everyone is somehow or other, when they are exploited, They complain and cry. But as soon as they are no longer exploited, they themselves become exploiters. That is the situation. And that is going on everywhere. And that is the history of the world. That is the history of South Africa. So here we are, the exploited turn exploiters, and again, others are exploited, and it never ends. Yeah, if the table can move a little, and then I can stretch my legs, that's a great idea. Oh, yeah. Relief. Oh. Thank you. Yes. How different is the Vaishnav community? The Vaishnav community is not based on personal gain. The Vaishnav community is based on pleasing Krishna. The Vaishnav community is therefore not interested in anything other than what is pleasing Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. That is our objective. How to please Krishna. Krishna himself is very eager. Very eager to reach out to all the conditioned souls. Krishna has no personal need to appear in this world. Yet again and again, Krishna appears in various incarnations in the material world. Why would he do so? He has no need. He is absorbed in his eternal pleasure pastimes, even so much that when he comes to the material world, he takes the spiritual world along. And Vrindavanam Parichaya Padam Ekam Nagachati, he doesn't take one step out of Vrindavan because he's always in the spiritual world, even when he comes to the material world, but still makes arrangements for the living beings who have turned away from him somehow or other, because Krishna is very much concerned with the welfare of all living beings. That is his aim. When the living being turned away from Krishna, and when the living being wanted to be master and enjoyer, due to the littleness of his existence, Srila Prabhupada says, due to the littleness of his existence, the living being became tempted by the greatness of the possibility to be master of all. It's attractive for a little creature. And so the living being came to the material world. But when the living being came to the material world, Krishna never left him. Krishna came with. And Krishna at that point entered into the heart as the Supersoul, as Paramatma. And Krishna accompanied the living being on his journey in the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no super soul. Super soul only exists in the material world. That is an arrangement for the conditioned souls in the material world, that Krishna comes along, that when the living being turns away from Krishna, that Krishna doesn't turn away from the living being and stays with him in his heart. In the spiritual world, no. There's no such thing as the super soul in the spiritual world. No, in the spiritual world, there's only Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly. So, in this way, we are looking at Krishna showing again and again his compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Also, Krishna has arranged that there are some problems in the material world. Have you noticed? Srila Prabhupada calls it the sand in the sweet rice. You have this sweet rice and crunch, crunch, crunch. It's sweet, but
crunch, crunch, crunch.
And after a while, you sort of feel like, does it really have to be like this? Crunch, crunch, crunch. I'm kind of tired of this. Every time I try to enjoy, there is always sand in the sweet rice. Why did Krishna put sand in the sweet rice? Is it fair? If we wanted to be independent and wanted to enjoy, why couldn't he just let us be independent and enjoy? Why did he have to put sand? Why? It's a token of his love. It's a token of his impatience. Just like when your son is grown up and independent and you can't tell him anything anymore and he just wants to do what he wants and it's not good. Well, you know, you hope that he has a bad time out there and then comes in, and then comes home crying, help, help. That's what you hope. So Krishna makes arrangements for that. So Krishna gives us, yes, Krishna has put, added some suffering to this world, which makes us turn to him. That's his mercy. So again, Krishna's mercy is very visible for us. His interest in us. We may not have so much interest in Krishna, in God. Yeah. So many other things to do. But gradually, by great devotees, we can become attracted and by suffering in the material world. When we've had enough, and we say, well, I had enough, I'm sort of ready to look for something else. That's the point. That's the point where we can be fertile ground for probing deeper into spirituality. What is the goal of life? Is Kayami, Kena, Amarjara Tapataya? Who am I? Why am I suffering from these threefold miseries? Miseries from mind, miseries from body, misery from other living beings, misery from natural circumstances. Why? Sanatana Goswami asked the question. So like this we are, we're experiencing life in the material world. Slowly, but surely, we are trying to establish our kingdom. Oh yes. Oh yes, we are trying to establish our power as to somehow or other get a palace and, if possible, live there in great opulence with many servants and so on. That would be the perfection of life, if we could have that. That would be wonderful. A palace, many servants, opulence, wonderful clothing, best of the best. That would be good. Yes, certainly. Meanwhile, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. He says, I have given you intelligence to come to me. So Krishna gave us intelligence so that we can come to him, and we say, thanks a lot. I just needed some intelligence so that I could get myself that palace and so that I could get myself well established in the material world. And in this way, we are misusing our intelligence, then Krishna will put some sand in our plans. And yeah, what to do? And after a while, maybe again we say, yes, yes, Krishna, yes, I want to be your devotee. Yes, Krishna is always ready to accept us. He doesn't bear a grudge. Krishna is not. Is not one to hold us liable for the past if he really turned to him. Of course, if he turned to him half-hearted, well, then still some karmic reactions will be there. Because we are not so serious when we come to Krishna, all right, we still keep, Krishna still keeps an element of suffering in our lives. So some diminished karmic reactions are there, just to remind us, well, it's not fun, the material world, in that way. We can keep our motivation. But as soon as one fully surrenders to Krishna, Krishna may just, eventually he will lift all limitations for his devotees. Krishna eventually empowers his devotees. Just see, Srimati Radharani is the most empowered devotee. She has all the qualities of perfection and so on. Anyway, currently we understand we need some purification. We know we are not so serious about our spiritual life. Yeah. So this is going on. There's a story about a man who was a court pundit. And the court pundit was always showing his learning in various ways to entertain the king. One day the king asked a question. And the king said, "What is the daily work of God?" So the pundit said, "The work of God is the creation." "No, no," the king said. "Creation, he does it one time. What is the daily work of God?" The pundit said, "That's an unusual question. Daily work. What is the daily work of God? Actually, I never heard that question. Your Majesty, I need some time to consult the scriptures." "All right," the king said. "I'll give you 1 week." Anyway, within that week, the king, the pundit, could not really come up with any decent answer. So he decided to avoid the king and to just quickly visit some relative who was very ill in another city. And he was about to leave town when he came across a disciple of his. And this disciple was a simple man. He was a cowherd man. So he said to this cowherd, he said that, well, the cowherd asked, "Oh, you're leaving town?" He said, "Yeah, the king, impossible question, so it's maybe better to go for a while." "Impossible question? A question would be impossible." Well, the guru said, "Well, the king wants to know what is the daily work of God, and he just can't find any answer in the scripture." "Oh, that's an easy question," the cowherd said. Oh, you know the answer." Yes, I know the answer." "All right, then you tell the king." "All right, I'll tell the king." So they went, and they walked into the court of the king, and then the pundit said, "Your Majesty, your question is actually a very simple question, and therefore my disciple will answer the question." And like this, they came in, and so the king was looking at the disciple, some cowherd man, what kind of disciple is that, you know? And then, but anyway, the king said, "All right, so let him answer the question." Then the cowherd man said, "Before I answer the question, may I also ask a question?" Of course, the king said, "Go ahead." He said, "Well, is it true that the one who answers the question should sit higher than the one who asks the question, according to Shastra?" The king looked at him and said, What? "You smelly cowherd man? You want to sit higher than me? You want to sit on the throne? Well, what do the scriptures say?" So the king came down off the throne, fuming, and the cowherd man sat down on the throne. And then, well, the king said, so, what is the answer? Then the cowherd man said, Your Majesty, your question is already answered. That was not good for the king's blood pressure. So the cowherd man then said, but I will still explain it. He said, the daily work of God is to pull down those who are proud and to elevate those who are humble. Yeah, so that's what we are going through. And that's it. That's what's happening to us. So, you know, we can see what's coming our way. Those who are humble, they will be elevated. And Srila Prabhupada showed that. He showed that humility. When Srila Prabhupada was in Gujarat, in India, there was a local king in the district who gave Prabhupada a big reception. And in the process, he offered him a beautiful silver throne, a monster of a throne, enormous. And there is a photo of Prabhupada seated on that throne. And Prabhupada is sitting on that throne with folded hands, with on his face this kind of apologetic expression. Like a kind of expression which says, I know it's a monster of a throne. I know no human being should sit on anything like this. I know, but what can I do? I'm doing it on behalf of Krishna. And in this way, Prabhupada just could sit on that throne in total humility, because he was not claiming it for his own glory or taking any pleasure in sitting there. I'm sitting on the throne. Silver, silver. It's big, isn't it? No. Prabhupada was never interested in his own greatness was being glorified like that. On one occasion, devotees were glorifying Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, he said, my spiritual master is like the sun, and I'm just like the moon. And he said, actually the sun is lighting up the moon. Right? The moon has no light of its own. In the same way, if you think that you see any good qualities in me, then know them actually to be the good qualities of my spiritual master. So, such a nice example also, so clear. And yes, the disciple follows the instructions of the spiritual master. So in that way, the disciple becomes an instrument of the spiritual master. And if anybody was an instrument of his spiritual master, then it was Srila Prabhupada. When his spiritual master just told him, if you ever get money, print books. That's what he did. Yeah? And he made it such a thing to distribute these books. That was the desire of his spiritual master. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to preach in the English language, Srila Prabhupada did not just... Yes, he preached himself in the English language, but his books were translated in 70 languages. So that's more than the English language. Yes. Like this, we can see how Krishna consciousness reached everywhere, and how Prabhupada had that mood. Imagine you get an instruction that you should preach in the English language. You could think, well, that's pretty easy then. Easy instruction. You give a lecture in English and you've done the job. That's one way to fulfill the order. You should preach in the English language. Okay. Krishna's the Supreme Personality of God. Read the Bhagavad Gita and you can see all about it. Okay, done. Any other instructions? Yeah, fulfilled it. According to the letter of the instruction, one could say, done. But how did Prabhupada fill it in? He filled it in with his whole life, with his whole being, with all his energy. And, that, of course, is the strength of this movement. That's why this movement is unique. There may be so many movements in the spiritual marketplace, but this movement, there's always a core of people who get inspired by that total dedication of Prabhupada and who again think, I should do something. And it is on the strength of that idealism in our movement, from seeing that Prabhupada gave everything, that some people wake up and think, okay, I should do something. Something for Prabhupada, something for Krishna I should do. And that is the wonderful nature of this movement. And then Krishna reciprocates. Now by the great efforts of the devotees, Nanda Kumar Prabhu and many other devotees, we are here in this amazing place. KB Youth Group from the cage went to a mansion. It's a bit of a change. It's quite a nice lodge and three houses. What amazing opportunities are there now? Krishna is giving such facility. So much can be done. So many nice programs can be held, especially when it's a little warmer. We have a huge garden. So many nice, very beautiful programs can be held. Many people can come. So Krishna gives, Krishna takes. But the more we just use it for Him and not for ourselves, the more He will give. Because Krishna, He gives to His devotees. But when the devotees become proud, then He will again go back to that mechanism of making them humble. But when we are not becoming proud, falsely proud, because of facility that we are getting, and when we simply try to use that facility for Krishna's purposes, He'll give us more, as He gave to Srila Prabhupada, who did not become proud and who became so successful. Just one person created such a huge movement. And of course, sometimes Prabhupada seemed to be very proud. One journalist was criticizing Prabhupada for having a Mercedes. And Prabhupada said, oh, no problem. You can have it too. You can have it too. He said, but you must give up sex life. Still want the Mercedes? He did like that. So each time, he showed how he was actually living a life of sacrifice, not a life of enjoyment. Another time about the cars, the journalists were like saying, oh, he came in a Rolls Royce, Prabhupada. Yes, should be a golden Rolls Royce for the spiritual master. They were writing down golden Rolls. Prabhupada said, yes, actually, I have many cars. I said, okay, they're writing down, Guru has many cars. Yes, Prabhupada said, yes, I have cars all over the world. So then in these cars, my devotees are driving around. And they're going everywhere to distribute the Bhagavad Gita and so on. End of story. They're just looking for the story. Guru exploits, like Guru lives a life of sacrifice and sacrifices everything, his own life and everything he has for spreading the glories of Krishna. That's not a story. We want to somehow or other show that he is like everybody else, exploiting his position. But because Prabhupada did not exploit, and therefore he continues to inspire. And yeah, it's on the strength of that inspiration that that we are here in this nice place. And at the eve of much to come, because now we hadn't really moved in yet. We're sort of camping, but at the eve of much to come, I think it can take our activities to another dimension. With better facility, it's not only that we can do the same thing we were doing in a better way, no. We can do many, many more things. And that is what we should be doing. We should offer a much greater variety of programs and activities with the increased facility. So it's time for creativity. It is time to develop new ideas. Because Krishna consciousness is not stereotype. It can be presented in so many ways for so many audiences. And that is useful. Prabhupada encouraged filmmakers, he encouraged drama artists, he encouraged all kinds of approaches. So I'm looking forward to what will be coming in this very nice place. Of course, normally it's not my agenda to come to Johannesburg in the winter. Why would I? Why would I fly from Europe from +33 to and land in Johannesburg at 3 degrees? It warms up during the day, but when I left 33, got in the plane at 33, got out of the plane at 3. I thought of going back inside. Anyway, now I came for some purposes to help some preaching development in Soweto. But I also came here and I'm very impressed with what is going on in Senton. And I hope to come back in the future and that we can really do something wonderful. In Durban, 1 year we had a spring festival. And it was going well. At one point in the middle of the lecture, the door burst open. Just bang, two doors burst open, and Agasura came into the temple, full size, and not small, and swallowed up a whole bunch of cowherd boys and Krishna and everything, right there in front of our eyes. So such things can easily take place in here also. We can see it coming. I think so. Some demons might appear. And many other things. Because Krishna consciousness, it's not dry. Krishna is not dry. Krishna is very playful. Krishna himself is engaging in very playful activities. So, we must just share that playful side of Krishna. Not reduce Krishna consciousness to something dry, you know, a dry surface. Very dry.
No.
Full of ras, full of juice. The word ras means juice, full of taste. That is Krishna consciousness. So I'm looking forward to things to come. Tomorrow I'll move on to Cape Town for some days. Not too long. It's raining. But one rainy weekend, okay, I can handle. Then soon I go back to Europe and hope to see you again in September. So if anyone would like to ask a question, otherwise, I'm going to sort of make plans to escape. But I think... okay, good. Then I'll make plans to escape. I've already have the plan to escape. Finally, then, something wonderful can only be done by dedication. We can certainly put on a good show, some amazing dancing, some amazing drama, some amazing kirtan. With great musicians, we can put up a good show. And a good show can impress people. But they had that American president who said you can, you know, he said you can fool most of the people, some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. So it is a fact that we cannot, by show alone, we cannot, in a lasting way, deeply impress people. Yeah, we may, by a show, impress some people. But our real trademark, our real unique quality is our dedication. So I think that with Krishna, giving this place in Senton, I think that our response should be more dedication, an increase in dedication. And I think every individual must make that commitment. Everyone in the room and everyone who didn't make it, somehow or other, everyone who's connected must for himself like resolve to increase the dedication. I think then as a community we will do something extraordinary. And that's the only lasting way that this movement can be successful. It's not by some trick. Tricks follow the dedication. Yeah. Strategy follows the dedication. Big strategic planning meetings follow dedication. Then it will be successful. So that is my desire. Somehow or other that, I think this is undoubtedly the nicest project in Gauteng so far. Don't know what the future will bring, a palace with jewels and the walls and so on, but I think on until we have that one, which we'll call New Dwarka. I think this is not a bad bed. I came here 2 days ago, they gave me a tour, and Ananda Kumar sort of goes, and here are the guru quarters. There was a big bathtub also. Right next to the pool. I noted it. Yeah, wonderful. So much can be done. So with your blessings, I escape now. Is it? No.
Summarize, what if we don't feel like we actually capable of doing something?
What if you don't feel capable of doing something? Well,
we're not empowered.
Well, we're not empowered, we're unqualified. Well, basically, the result of our activities is not depending on us. But we just simply, there's a facility. We use that facility to invite people, and we offer people programs. And we can offer these programs in a variety of ways. And the substance of the programs must be hearing, chanting, and taking Krishna prasad. And then we can add some culture and some creativity in different ways. And then the result's up to Krishna. So it's not that we have to be so qualified in terms of materially qualified to do impossible tasks. Our real qualification is that we are good followers. You just have to be good followers. And good followers is, to really chant our rounds, try and chant good rounds, to follow the principles, to read Prabhupada's books, and to try and live by them. That's what it kind of means to be a good follower. Not hypocrisy. Because a little bit of hypocrisy is there in all of us, a little bit of pretense, showing off and so on. So little by little we have to make more commitment. Like for example, we all, who can say that he never spoke a lie in his life? Who can say that one day went by without speaking lies? Who can say that there was one day in his life that he never spoke a lie on that day? Who can say? Has there been such a day? But maybe we should gradually work on it to try and get to that day. So it's about, that's the other side. We should try to develop saintly qualities. Qualities of goodness. So that you develop by trying. You don't develop it overnight, but by trying. Then it comes. And for the rest, devotional service or good qualities will come. It is said, just by devotional service, gradually we'll develop all good qualities. So let's commit ourselves. Dedication to pleasing Krishna is the key to success, nothing else. Not money, not education, not a fancy presentation. Simple things can work fine. But yes, there are many programs that devotees around the world have tried. And we can also try some of them. Lending library, cultural activity, dance, theater, Bhagavad Gita courses, musical concerts centered around kirtan, sometimes a little artistic, Gauravani or something like that, exhibitions of Krishna conscious art, all these things. A place like this lends itself for that. Like I was just in Villa Vrindavan in Italy, and they're just starting a huge thing about painting exhibition. And they have the whole Mahabharata painted, and huge paintings, and they're doing up the whole thing like a big Vedic museum. So when you have a big place, you can do all kinds of cultural things. As long as it's Krishna conscious, great. So you're empowered. Now you just do it. And with that, I must escape now.